Chapter 3. Friendship and Mystery. I ran madly in and out of the bushes all around the Sphinx. No time machine. Next, I ran down to the huge building. The big hall was dark, silent, and empty. I entered a second great hall, where about 20 people were sleeping. "Where is my time machine?" I asked, shaking them awake. Some laughed, but most looked frightened. In a panic, I ran back through the big dining hall and out under the moonlight. I searched everywhere until I was very tired. Then I lay on the ground near the Sphinx and slept. When I woke up again, it was light outside. I sat up, trying to remember how I had gotten there. Then things became clear in my mind. Probably the machine had only been taken away. I must be calm, find its hiding place, and get it back. I carefully examined the ground around the little lawn. I found a line in the grass and strange narrow footprints. These all led me to the Sphinx. It sat on a pedestal made of metal panels. I knocked on these panels and found that the pedestal was hollow. I saw no way to open the panels from the outside, but it was clear that the time machine was inside that pedestal. Two people walked toward me. I pointed to the pedestal and tried to make them understand that I wanted to open it, but their faces looked upset. As they turned away, I grabbed one by the arm. I began pulling him toward the pedestal. Then I saw fear on his face and let him go. Next, I hit the metal panels with my hands. I thought I heard laughter from inside. Then I got a big stone and hit the metal, but I still could not get in. Finally, I gave up and sat down on the grass. I knew I would have to be patient. If I learned the ways of these people, I would find a way to get to my time machine. I returned to the big building. It seemed that the people were staying away from me. But after a day or two, the situation returned to normal. I decided to put aside any thought of my time machine and the metal pedestal. I hoped that my growing knowledge of this place would lead me back to my time machine naturally. Still, I stayed within a few kilometers of the Sphinx. As I explored the area, I saw lots of the same buildings and the same trees and bushes everywhere. I soon noticed a number of mysterious, deep wells in the ground. There was no water in these wells. However, a sound like a motor came from them. I learned very little about the lives of these people. I entered several big buildings, but they were just living places, dining halls, and sleeping apartments. There were no machines. There were no shops or factories. The people just played, ate, and slept. One night, I was sleeping alone in a room in the big building. I woke suddenly with an odd feeling that someone had just rushed out of the room. I went out in front of the building, from where I saw white shapes up on the side of the hill. They were carrying a dark body. They moved quickly and disappeared among the bushes. As the day grew brighter, I watched the hillside closely, but no more white shapes appeared. That day, I happened to make a friend. As I was watching some people playing in a shallow part of the river, one of them suddenly went down under the water. I quickly walked into the water a little downriver. I caught her and brought her safely to land. Later, the woman I had saved gave me some flowers. I did my best to show I was happy with the gift. We were soon sitting together and smiling at each other. We passed each other flowers, and she kissed my hands. I did the same to hers. Her name was Weena. Like a child, she followed me everywhere. I learned from her that her people still felt fear. She strongly hated the dark, which started me thinking and watching. These people slept in groups in the big buildings after dark. After our friendship began, I joined them. Weena slept with her head on my arm.